This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Now, for our next story, you know, we've all been in that situation. Your boss calls you to the office for a private chat. Someone calls your name in that almost recognizable tone, which usually precedes a conversation about how you've kind of messed up. And your mind just goes...
Had that conversation once too often.
Once too often, and Dusty Springfield reminds you, you know, we just don't want to have that conversation. It's about negative feedback, especially the ones which really strike a chord. It can be so hard to be on the receiving end of that, but the question is why that's the case when it's meant to almost encourage us to improve. It is constructive feedback, but it's just not that easy.
Well, so there's an idea behind a really fascinating episode of the TED podcast, Work Life with Adam Grant. Mm-hmm. It essentially dives into why we hate hearing negative feedback.
Right.
And the idea is to instead of, you know, anxiously worry about, you know, things that give you anxiety, you know, things like the meetings, the idea is to excitedly anticipate them. Crave that negative feedback.
Oh, really?
Yes. So when we're confronted with it, right? So he says that we have a physiological response. You know, we tense up, our breathing gets shallow, our ego becomes so threatened that it begins to limit the information that is let into our brain. So we regulate to sort of avoid taking in harsh critique as to why we react this way. Essentially, what Adam says is it's because all of us are so awful at delivering negative feedback.
But that's what I was going to say. I think as much as you can potentially prepare yourself to receive negative feedback, if the delivery or if the sender of that message isn't quite, what's the right word?
Constructive, perhaps?
Constructive or adept at a very delicate technique of how to frame the conversation, it can be taken in a negative manner.
And it usually is. So Adam says it's a simple solution, actually, to this problem, and it's a solution for both sides. It boils down to trusting that everyone is participating in good faith. Mm. That means the person who's giving negative feedback as well as the person who's receiving.
Well, that's a lot of, sort of work in the background to make sure that sets up quite nicely.
Well, I'm going to say it's really difficult. I mean, okay, so, you know, think about us here working in a radio station. I mean, we've had the pleasure of receiving tons and tons of emails, and bad. You know, so training yourself to find that silver lining in all the feedback can be really, really tough.
Yes. And I actually appreciate a lot of the listeners who do send in their feedback to any of the BFM presenters.
Sure.
Sometimes there's almost a paragraph of saying, you know, how much they love the work and they love the things that we're doing. But hey, here's the thing that I'm not quite thrilled about. And, you know, it goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's not so difficult to take it like that, I feel, because you feel as though you need to please people all the time. And this goes with everybody, right? You know, your friends.
Yeah.
So people listening and BFM listeners, everybody wants to be liked. It's about your self-esteem. So it's really important. I don't think it's that easy, though.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be getting a psychologist's perspective on this from Dr. Eugene T., senior lecturer at Help University. Eugene, thanks for joining us on the program again. So with this story, the thing about negative feedback is that it's supposed to encourage you to improve, but it can be so hard to take when you're on the receiving end. Why is that the case?
I think negative feedback is always well-intended, and like you said, it's geared towards the intention of helping us improve. So it shines a light on areas, skills, competencies, and behaviors that we should improve on in the workplace. That being said, what negative feedback also does, and it's often perceived as, is a psychological threat. So the feedback presents itself as something that challenges our self-worth, our value, and our contribution to the organization. So accompanying these threats are emotions such as anxiety, frustration, maybe guilt, disappointment, defensiveness, insecurity, all of which ultimately, I think, manifests itself in a whole range of undesirable outcomes, demotivation, lack of commitment. And so there are studies that have even showed us that there's a link between negative feedback with turnover intentions.
Okay, so let's look, I guess, at the other end of the feedback exchange. From your observations, do many people just lack the skill, perhaps, to give proper negative feedback to each other?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question. I think we have set ideas about the efficacy, the effectiveness of negative feedback, and also ideas about how we should actually deliver it. So already we have the assumption that it's going to be good. And we hear studies, we see reports that people want feedback, they want reasons to improve or suggestions on how to improve their skills. But I think we have also established some kind of unhelpful approaches towards delivering negative feedback. One particular example is sandwiching the negative feedback. So we start off with something positive, place the criticism somewhere in the middle, and then we end on a positive. Doing so, some studies do suggest that it does come off as being insincere. I think you might have also heard of something called sugaring the pill. Principle is similar. We sugarcoat the negative feedback so the recipient becomes a little bit more receptive of it. So to answer your question, yes, I think we do have a sort of correct intention to actually want to use negative feedback in the interest of improving. Mm-hmm. But I think we can work on the delivery of negative feedback better.
Right. And Eugene, what happens when, I guess, we fail to properly exchange negative feedback?
One interesting effect, and I was just looking this up, found by some researchers was something called the shopping for confirmation effect. So if you get some negative feedback from, say, a colleague or from maybe a manager or supervisor in a workplace, we may develop the tendency to actually seek out other people, other individuals, other colleagues who actually affirm our strengths. So in a nutshell, what we do, what we might do when we find ourselves cast in negative light is to actually change our relationships. We form new social connections with people who would affirm us rather than those who would actually disagree or criticize us.
Right. And I guess that's why birds of the same feather sort of flock together. So what would be your rule of thumb when giving feedback?
There are no shortage of suggestions on what we can do to deliver feedback more positively. I think one of the principles that does tend to work, at least from my observations, is to make sure that the employees, the recipient of the feedback, continually feels valued. And so the feedback is, in a way, sort of offset with, say, praises or affirmations of the individual's contributions and worth to the organization. We do know that the negative is stronger than the positive, so there's this negativity bias. So even if we are praised repeatedly, it might just take one or two negative feedbacks for us to actually fixate on those. So offsetting the costs of negative feedback through using praise, maybe expressions of gratitude, might work there. I suppose other more specific suggestions, say if it's in a conflict situation, it helps to distinguish between the person and the problem, distinguish between, say, fact and opinion, paying attention to nonverbal cues as well, because we know that nonverbal cues really do shape our impressions of negative feedback. You might have heard someone telling you, it's not what was said, but how it was said to me that really mattered. In terms of, say, if I could just think of a suggestion for leaders and managers, if leaders and managers are themselves candid and honest with their own flaws, mistakes, weaknesses, and to actually reframe those as learning opportunities, that might create a culture or a climate that's more responsive towards receiving negative feedback.
And Eugene, what's your advice for the times when we're at the receiving end of negative feedback?
If you're the recipient of the negative feedback, I think try to be mindful of the intent of the feedback. Oftentimes when negative feedback comes across to us, it's taken as perhaps perceived as an attack on our personal self. Maybe distinguishing between the intention of the person providing that feedback and your automatic reactions does help. One emotion that is useful is curiosity and interest. So being interested in what the other party has to say, being a little bit more mindful as to wondering, why would this person actually say this to me? Does create a bit of a buffer between yourself, automatic responses, and with what the feedback actually is.
Well, Eugene, thank you very much for that. Actually, quite useful tips. That was Dr. Eugene T., Senior Lecturer at Help University, with his thoughts on why it's so hard for us to receive negative feedback. I feel like this is also something that we need to remind ourselves to do as we head towards the end of the year with evaluations with our respective supervisors.
You're preparing early, aren't you?
Well, I mean, the tips are right here. It's clear from that podcast. And if you want to check out that podcast, find it on the TED Podcast Work Life with Adam Grant. Stay tuned to the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.